You are now tuned in to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Yes, not the car wax anymore. We changed the name because we're talking hardwood and we're talking end zone. So that's a combination of the two where we're hitting. And I got my two co-hosts here. We got Sean. What's going on, Sean?
Ew.
And Shay Omanera.
Just chilling.
You know, you see, kept chilling. Everybody's quoting. They say, yo, when you gonna put the villain back on? I said, why you gotta be the villain? And he was like, yo, he just knows it all and he's just gonna kill us and shit. So you're known as the villain, man. But it's a good villain. How about that?
The villain.
Yeah, from the unemployed sports report.
Straight from the unemployment line.
Yep. So, yeah, it took us a little bit, but we're back to it. And we really want to start talking about these trades. And we're ending the season with Cavaliers looking like straight butts. They lost out on so much during the trade season. But Shay, let's start from the beginning, especially our previous podcast when we was kind of talking about not the 3-on-3, but back to the draft and potential trades. We saw some things coming. I know one of them was there's no way Chris Paul would go to Houston because it made no sense.
Well, yeah, that's what I originally thought. But then again, like I said in the last podcast, I said, how are you going to have two chefs preparing the same meal?
Right.
Yep. That's how it is with Chris Paul and James Harden. So then again, you have Mike D'Antoni. If any coach can coach two ball dominant players, it is Mike D'Antoni.
So how much D'Antoni is giving you? Because this is like consecutive.
Four podcast straight.
What you said?
I think
I'll just say dick riding on
unemployed sportscaster right here.
Okay, so if this is dick riding, then how come he was voted coach of the year this year? There's a reason, right? I'm not. I don't talk good about anyone just to talk good about anyone.
If you listen
to my podcast, you know damn well I do not. I rarely talk good about anyone.
That is correct.
So
that
if I'm talking, correct. I mean, the playoffs when they did their Houdini act is another thing. But But what I'm saying
is, we'll just sweep that under the rug every year that happens.
A guy like Mike D'Antoni can use two players like Chris Paul and James Harden. He's the one that invented this new style of play. The play that the Warriors used to win a championship. D'Antoni was a pioneer for that.
I wish we had this podcast when Dwight Howard was there. Because I would have loved to hear the same thing come out your mouth.
Dwight Howard is not a D'Antoni player.
So was he?
And I said that was a bad fit way back when.
Okay.
I said if Dwight Howard was Dwight Howard from the Lakers, this is a bad fit. But if this was the Dwight Howard before the back problems, then James Harden and Dwight Howard, that's a championship caliber team right there.
So this is how I look at it. And you know what? And I'm always willing to eat my damn words. If that works, our resident genius, once again, has done it again. Because
Did we forget that James Harden played with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook? He has deferred before.
But this is his team. That wasn't his team before. Wasn't his team.
Well,
he was the third man.
Yeah.
That was not his team. Houston is his team. There is no doubt that's his team. So when Chris Paul comes in.
And what happened when it was his team? They disappeared in the playoffs.
It don't matter.
Chris Paul. It's not about if it's his team or if it's not his team. It's about what can you have in your persona to win you a championship. Now they got Chris Paul to that persona.
So during the playoffs, it was his team. So if he decides for it not to be his team, so that's on the players and not D'Antoni?
Not everybody's Kyrie Irving. It's not about ego with these players.
Yeah, really?
I mean, James Harden, the thing about James Harden and Chris Paul, they're very good friends. So there is that. What Chris Paul said during the Western All-Star game, they already talked about playing together someday.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like this is like
in the long run, man, is just not a good look. I mean, of course they're gonna be able to be OKC. I mean, they was able to be OKC without Chris Paul.
And they could have beat San Antonio.
Well, okay, let's think about the Miami Heat, right? When LeBron James and Chris Bosh came and joined Dwayne Wade.
Okay.
What are you going to say? Was it still Dwayne Wade's team? He just had two guys, one who is the best player in the NBA, join his roster so they can win a championship.
So I think Wade is the type of player that says, how do we win?
Right.
That's a difference. Wade to me is, how do we win? He knows if I had LeBron James and this is the most dominant player in the league and you can't scratch on me. I'm freaking good. But I know what I need in order to win. And then if you turn around and you look at a Harden just tells me, look, it's just all about me. It's just about me.
Well, just to make it simple, we haven't seen James Harden know how to win. He's not the regular season was basically numbers. He put up numbers and he's playing against everybody in the regular season. When you're playing in the playoffs and you don't show up consistently, James Harden is beginning to have a name of not showing up in the playoffs.
But potentially he can be better. And the reason why, so he did his disappearing act. I think if he would have played, I still really feel that they could have beat San Antonio. They had the opportunity.
But exactly. He did his disappearing act. And what happened to the Rockets? They completely floundered. So if he does another Houdini again, he got a guy similar in ability in Chris Paul to come help him out. So
but you said he was a choke artist.
But that's nothing.
Every Jordan
but that's
needs Scottie Pippen.
But he had Blake Griffin. What's the difference? Okay. If James Harden pull a Houdini act, it's still just Chris Paul going super hard, hopefully not getting injured because he went super hard. Like
again.
I just don't see just, James Harden.
Yeah. So Shay, I just think it's a bad look. We may be wrong. It's just a bad look for
the thing about Harden though on offense, I don't want to cut you off, but the thing about Harden on offense is that I felt like at times, even though he was second in line for MVP, he exerted way too much energy on the offensive end. And I felt like there were times, like the playoffs, for example, where he just completely ran out of energy because he felt like everything went through him. When it talks about his – he had the – Russell Westbrook, I believe, was the first all-time in usage rate. Which means how many times are you used throughout the game in terms of scoring, assisting? There's how many times do you have the ball in your hand?
Right, right.
And Harden that season was the second highest all time. And if you want to do it for numbers' sake, Kobe was the third, of course, because it's Kobe Bryant. So he was just exerted so much energy where I just felt he got burnt out during the playoffs. Now you got a guy who's also ball dominant and a guy who's also a point guard in Chris Paul that he's going to get his assists. He's going to set people up. So now Harden can go back and be in the shooting guard. His three-point percentage could go up. He shot 34% during this past season. That was below his usual numbers from the three-point line. Now, since he has someone else that can score for him, that can create for him, he can go back and be in the spot-up shooter.
Okay. But he did really freaking well. Really well by being the point.
Yeah, but that still didn't get them far enough to win a championship.
So now too much responsibility. Too heavy on his shoulders.
So you think it was too much of a burden?
That's why Chris Paul's there. That's why they're trying to get another superstar there.
Trying to get Carmelo.
To take the pressure off of Harden so he won't go ghost in the playoffs. So he won't feel like, if it's me, it's nothing.
But I think the ghost was psychological. I don't think he was tired like that because his game wasn't tired. It was, I'm just not fucking into it.
He looked a little bit lethargic to me.
He looked a little like, fuck this. That's what he looked like to me. He had no aggressive manner to say, if I lose this, we lose.
Right.
He didn't have that. He kind of was like a, eh. So that's the difference. So psychologically, and then I think we said on the other podcast, he alluded to something during the, you
press
know,
conference.
At the press conference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Saying his team didn't have enough pop.
Yeah.
Well, so to speak.
Well, they don't got pop, but they got a paw. So now, I mean, they
got a paw.
They got another superstar. So what more can he ask for? Because you know how there's like
I got you.
There's a lot of superstars that are always complaining. Paul George recently, for example, with the Pacers, get me some more help. Yep. Well, what did Daryl Morey did for the Rockets? He got him Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like, they're trying to help James Harden. They're not trying to put it all on his shoulders. So
I get that. But sometimes, you know the old saying, watch what you ask for because you might just get it.
But right. I mean, you do got two cooks in the kitchen, two cooks preparing the same meal. But what hurts about getting another superstar? You got another superstar on your team.
So I still feel you'll be absolutely right if D'Antoni structures it right. If he doesn't structure it right.
He's like the Steve Jobs of coaching. That's all I got to say.
What the
fuck? He's like innovative.
What the hell?
He's innovative.
This is incredible.
I see no iPhones on the court.
This is incredible.
They're not winners.
You know how iPhone was the first smartphone, was the first major smartphone?
No. First major smartphone.
Yeah. Okay. It created precedent for other smartphones. D'Antoni's offense, that 7-a-second or less offense for the 2005 Suns, that was the very first iPhone right there. That was the very first iPhone. It was like, wow,
but
this is
innovative. Sell.
This is new. This is fun.
It didn't sell.
That was one of the best teams to never win a championship of all time.
It didn't sell. Meaning, it sells, it wins.
It did sell because the Warriors took that same DNA but just got better players overall, and now they're a championship-winning team.
So, if you're the originator of a system, you win. Let me give you two examples. Let's start with basketball. The guy you hate.
Phil?
Yep.
I mean,
the triangle offense, right?
Sometimes I hate him. He's overrated.
Yeah, okay. So, and then let's go to football. The West Coast offense. They won with that. And then people replicated it. And a couple of people won with
Phil
it,
Phil Jackson wasn't actually the originator of the triangle offense.
So he took the triangle offense and made it work. Right?
Yeah.
So, did Bill Walsh was the originator of the West Coast offense? It probably came from somebody else.
Blair Winters.
And he modified it and made it work. So, if this guy is the originator and he's using it and it's not working, sorry.
No, for D'Antoni, it was working. It got the Suns to be a winning team.
Yeah, so is the Atlanta Falcons.
They just did not win a championship.
Okay. Enough about this D'Antoni. So we'll just sum it up and say they're going to be ranked the same place they was last year, if not one rank up. And they're going to make it to the Western Conference Finals, maybe, but they're still not going
to
beat the Warriors.
Now. We're not sure they're going to get – they might get mellow. If they get mellow, things might change. It might be a different tune.
Let's go ahead and work on because we're done with Houston. Let's go ahead and work on Minnesota. Minnesota has some major moves.
We still on the West, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Major moves with the West. The West picked up. Minnesota. They picked up Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
And then for the point guard, they picked up Jeff Teague. How y'all feel about them moves
as well?
Yeah, and they picked up Taj Gibson. Taj Gibson was a super major
pickup.
They're
the Minnesota Bulls. That's what they are.
That's funny. And there is some talk going around that they might try to move Kyrie for Andrew Wiggins. So how do y'all feel about the moves?
Wiggins?
Yeah, how y'all feel about the moves that's being made with Minnesota?
Cavaliers want Wiggins. Timberwolves are reluctant to give Wiggins.
Really?
That's from what I read.
Okay.
Yes. But
okay.
But Timberwolves are thinking that might be a last resort. We might give up Wiggins. But in my personal opinion, they should not give up Wiggins at all.
No. Well, they just gave up LaVine. So, you know, that's like...
But LaVine was like he was like the Harden of the Westbrook and Durant. He right. was the guy that was always going to get traded because he can't play with Towns and Wiggins in the same lineup. That's too much offense, not enough defense.
They did pick up Jamal Crawford too.
Yeah, and yeah, that's what I'm saying. Minnesota Bulls. He was also a former Bull. Then for Jimmy Butler, I mean, you give up LaVine and Dunn for Butler. I'll trade that any day.
Right.
If I was the Timberwolves, I'll trade that any day.
I think Minnesota did an awesome job. I think that's one of the favorites of the top picks, man. I think Jeff Teague fits perfectly with that squad. I think he fits three times better than Rubio.
So will they be prepared though?
Yes. I think Jeff Teague has enough playoff experience on the East to get them to
into LeBron.
Yeah. Pretty much as long as you know, and then he got a way better squad than he had in Atlanta. A way better squad than he had in Indiana.
Now the thing about the squad though, even though they got Jeff Teague, they got Jimmy Butler, as a team, because your top players are still Townsend and Wiggins, if he still stays, they're still relatively inexperienced.
They're going to lose in the first round. They're going to lose in the first round, seven games.
And they might be in the bottom half of the playoff season. Yeah. They might be in the bottom half.
Yeah, they're going to make it to the playoffs this year. I can pretty much guarantee that.
I was certain last year they would, but now this year is a definite.
And if Portland don't pick up Carmelo, they're definitely easy going to be. It's going to be include Sacramento also. Sacramento has a chance of making the playoffs.
They will not make the playoffs. If they were in the Eastern Conference, they would make the playoffs. But in the West, no.
Well, Memphis Grizzlies made the playoffs last year, and no one thought they were going to make the playoffs last year.
Right now, with all these moves, they're stronger. That's why I call the Eastern Conference the Leastern Conference, because there's nobody in that conference right now. But in the Western Conference, you got all these Bulldogs right now. It's going to be hard for Sacramento to get in. But I like what they doing, signing all these veterans. They signed George Hill. They signed Vince Carter. They signed Zach Randolph.
Right.
All these younger players to mentor them. But they're not going to make the playoffs, but I like what they're doing, building for the future. And if we're going back in hindsight, now I feel like they won the trade with the DeMarcus Cousins Pelicans trade.
They did?
Yes. Thinking about it, they would have had to pay DeMarcus Cousins, I believe, $230 million right now.
Right.
Whoa. Yeah.
Yeah, both New Orleans. Yeah, both DeMarcus and Anthony Davis is pretty much getting the same amount of money. They pretty much getting almost $20 million apiece.
Yes, Pelicans are in a crunch right now, and as proven during the second half of the season, even DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis ain't going to win you games.
Well, here's the thing. So I'm gonna do a quick sum. So this is the top eight for the West last year. Golden State, Spurs, Houston, Clippers, Utah, OKC, Memphis, Portland. Clippers are not going to be there next year. Utah's not going to be there next year.
Not at all.
Memphis not going to be there next year. And there's a high possibility of Portland not being there next year. That's four slots.
But who's going to replace them then?
Thank you. So that's four slots. So we have
think Memphis is going to be there.
We got New Orleans.
Fisdale's a good coach. Memphis is going to be there.
So Randolph was there, right?
Yeah, but Randolph was a backup.
Was okay. there.
Randolph
He's
was
with
a
the
backup
Kings
this
now.
Last year. So
yeah, he was
really,
a backup.
Because he wasn't playing. Okay.
He wasn't really that effective for the Memphis Grizzlies that year. I feel like Memphis is going to make it.
So we got Denver that might have a chance. New Orleans might have Denver. A chance. Sacramento and Minnesota. Then we got the Dallas and Lakers that might fight for 9 and 10.
Not at all.
Might fight for 9 and 10.
That's might fight for 14 and 15, matter of fact. Okay, Lakers 12.
I think that's the Clippers spot.
Oh, no. Clippers are going to be about 11th or 10th because they gave Blake Griffin this huge contract.
Yeah,
Blake Griffin is going to win them enough games for them not to be bottom feeders, but they're still not going to be good enough to make the playoffs.
Right.
So they're just going to be in that. They're going to be so what I call the Atlanta.
Higher than the bottom.
Exactly. I used to call it the Atlanta Hawks spot before they made it to the playoffs. They were always good. They were always too good to be bottom feeders, but not good enough to make the playoffs. So they're in that like 10 to 13 spot where they're not going to get anybody that was like going to change their franchise or anything unless they strike lucky.
Yeah, right.
So
okay.
That's what the Clippers are right now.
So who do you think Memphis got that's going to consistently keep them at number 7?
As long as Gasol and Conley stays healthy. They got a good nucleus. And Fisdale, he is a great coach.
Yeah, Fisdale is an awesome coach.
He's a great coach. So They still got that. They didn't lose much. They lost Zach Randolph, but granted, Zach Randolph was old. He didn't affect too much. That bench is young. They got Andrew Harrison. He's a young
Jamichael
point guard. Jamichael Green. Mm-hmm. He's a young budding power forward. I feel like that team's still gonna be set. I mean, you got Chandler Parsons. I mean, he's been a bust so far, but I feel like once his injury woes get behind him, he's going to be a decent signing. So Grizzlies, I still have faith in them to at least make the AFC.
So what about Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, oh, they're going to be top five. With yeah, Paul without George, a doubt. They're going to be top five, yeah. But still, they're not going to be good enough.
I mean,
to
they face was with they the was Rockets, number six last year.
The Warriors, they was yeah. number six.
You know what I'm saying?
Without anybody,
with nobody. Yeah,
so
really?
I say three is going to be their highest ceiling. I say five will be their floor.
Yeah, so
Warriors
three,
and Rockets.
Yeah, so three will probably. Damn.
What Warriors, about the Spurs?
Yeah, the Spurs. Yeah,
Warriors, Rockets, or Spurs, I feel like might be over the Thunder.
So you think Oklahoma and the Spurs may be flipping? They have the opportunity to battle for the
yes,
third?
And that's dependent on the Spurs if they get a point guard. Because we're not sure yet. They might. Who knows? They might get Kyrie. So that's wow. dependent if they get a point guard.
That would be sweet, though.
I don't think they definitely will get Kyrie.
They need a point guard, yeah. But I don't know if they're actually going to spend that money to get him.
Because they don't spend money like
no,
that.
No, they don't spend money.
They kind of build.
Yeah.
They got Rudy Gay, but they also lost Jonathan Simmons. So
yep, that's Simmons also went to Orlando.
Right.
Huh.
So Oklahoma is still in the top. I mean, they'll be in the top five. Spurs is there.
Easy.
So who is that fifth spot?
Fifth spot could be the Timberwolves. Who knows? They could be
yeah.
a Timberwolves.
Yeah, the fifth spot is going to be is definitely going to be a Timberwolves. I'm even scared to say New Orleans because I think New Orleans
they had this year to build.
See, I don't know. I still don't got faith in New Orleans.
Based
I feel like they might not make the playoffs again
because of the veterans that they don't have or. What do you feel like?
Is that structured okay. yet?
Outside of the Marcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, and Drew Holiday, can you name anybody else on that team?
What's my guy name?
Exactly. Got to think about it. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. There's nobody else on that team that's going to affect outside of those three players, so they're not going to make the playoffs to me. Those three guys also aren't leaders enough.
So you're calling them the New York Knicks of the West?
Pretty much.
Ooh,
pretty much.
No, it can't be the New York.
You know
Knicks.
How Knicks had Eddie York Curry, Zach Randolph in his up. Prime, Stephon Marbury.
Yeah, they had Kenyon Martin.
Yeah,
they had Kenyon Martin, Amari Stoudemire.
I believe they had Penny Hardaway as well. Correct me if I'm wrong. They had Penny Hardaway as well. All those players. Hey,
the Knicks had Penny,
and they had Jamal Crawford, and they had Jamal
they did
Crawford.
Have Jamal Crawford. I
in,
do remember
in his
that
prime.
Yeah,
all those players still couldn't make the playoffs. So. Pelicans are the same thing right now.
Ew.
DeMarcus okay. Cousins, he's gonna be playing about 60 games because half those games are going to be suspensions. So, I mean, just looking at hindsight, Kings won this trade. Because okay. all the first-round picks they got, all that cap relief, all the money they didn't spend on DeMarcus Cousins,
they
and to
it.
Focus on all these young players that they got – it's not about De'Aaron Fox, who they draft, who's going to be a very good player. They got Skylar Bissier. They got Buddy Hield. They got Justin Jackson. They got all these young players. Mm. All of them.
And then you got three awesome veterans. You know exactly. what I'm saying? George Hill, Zach Randolph, and Vince Carter. So
exactly to mentor these
so,
guys.
Yeah, so. To mentor and build.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
They got Willie Cauley-Stein. Oh no, they're not going to make the playoffs at all. But
they're building though.
Right. Yeah. It's
got
not,
young
it's
players.
Not the wrong to rebuild. It's yeah. Nothing wrong to rebuild in the year of the Warriors. I mean, you need to make the playoffs just to lose. I mean, if they signed DeMarcus Cousins, he wasn't getting them to the playoffs anyway. So
nope.
If you sign this guy for $230 million, right. You just got an overpaid player. Of course, he's going to get you the stats and whatnot, but he's not going to win you games. And apparently, from what I've been reading, the locker room has been much better with DeMarcus Cousins out of it.
Well, so, and here's the thing: New Orleans kind of lost too because. At the end of the day, I don't think they're going to have enough money to put DeMarcus Cousins back on the market. I mean, they're going to have to put him back on the market because they don't
no,
have
they
enough money to get
him. But, what they,
but they can't gain anything more than
exactly.
that.
They're not yeah. going to win.
It's,
yeah,
they're going to be in a crutch. They
yeah,
already paid Drew Holiday.
That's what I'm saying. And they paid Drew Holiday a lot of money. So they're not even going to have the money to max him out, give him any more money. He's going to have to compromise if he wants to stay in New Orleans. He's not going to want to stay in New Orleans next year.
You know what I'm saying?
Or they can pick up one of those 3-on-3.
Well, no, he's cold, bruh. DeMarcus Cousins is cold. No, I mean,
if they keep him and they keep all of that high salary cap, they can't bring in anybody
There's even rumors that Celtics are keeping tabs on Anthony Davis.
Right.
Because Anthony Davis might want to leave, or the Pelicans know that since they already put themselves in the crutch with DeMarcus Cousins, maybe they got to do something drastic with Anthony Davis.
Damn.
But yeah, so
that's how bad it is right now.
Right. That they're losing so much money keeping him. You know what I'm saying? And so the only way.
What's your options though, Sean? DeMarcus or Anthony Davis?
No.
The ceiling is higher for Anthony than damn DeMarcus.
The only reason they brought DeMarcus was to try to keep Anthony Davis.
Right.
But it backfired because the money. It's a money issue now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they can try to negotiate some more, but if they don't make it to the second round, they're not going to hold DeMarcus any value.
And they got so much money invested to those three guys that they don't have enough money to pay for anybody else.
Exactly.
If your next best player is Etuan Moore, you got a problem.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. They have to make it to the second round for them to even consider to keep DeMarcus Cousins. So
they got to at least make the playoffs first. You saying second round.
Right. For them to consider. DeMarcus Cousins is gone.
Okay.
Period. They just got to give him his money. So they're going to ride this check out. They're going to ride this whole year out.
No, they're going to pay him.
They're going to ride. They're going to pay him the rest of his money.
No, they're going to give him a long-term contract. Because if they don't give him a long-term contract, that's Pelicans admitting, like, look, Sacramento, you robbed us. You jugged us. We lost this trade. So they're going to have to eat both those players. I feel like that's eventually what they're going to try to do.
Anthony is going to have to leave. They're going to have to pick up some more draft picks.
That sounds crazy.
And DeMarcus Cousins is gone. He's gone.
There's a reason why Celtics never made that trade. And we are seeing the reasons.
Right.
I thought when Sacramento King traded DeMarcus Cousins, it was just a Kings thing. It was just that him being a dysfunctional organization like the Kings is making DeMarcus Cousins this way. But no, it was the other way around.
It was DeMarcus Cousins.
Freeing Cousins freed the Kings. Exactly.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of players out here that only plays good on winning teams.
Yeah, because they got
DeMarcus
support.
Cousins is one of those players.
So if he doesn't have the support,
only plays good on
he's
winning
not going to really play well.
He was never on a winning team to show you if he could play good on a winning team.
He played for Kentucky.
No, I mean,
when he was with Kentucky, but what I'm saying is he felt like he was on a good team. When he had John Wall and Eric Bledsoe.
DeMarcus Cousins was acting out in Kentucky as well. He was getting suspended. He was arguing with John Calipari. I mean, it's not changing with DeMarcus Cousins, regardless.
He felt like he was on a better team. I feel like when he was with the Kings, it was like, I'm in a lose-lose situation.
DeMarcus Cousins got drafted number 5. He would have got drafted possibly number 2 if it wasn't for his character issues. But a guy so talented got drafted with the 5th pick just because of his character issues. Seeing DeMarcus Cousins, the teams that drafted players ahead of him weren't surprised about DeMarcus Cousins. They knew he was this good. They just knew
environment. They didn't want that toxic environment.
The first thing about when Kings drafted DeMarcus Cousins, it was like, can DeMarcus Cousins coexist with the Kings? Can DeMarcus Cousins keep a level head? That was the questions that were being asked right when he got drafted.
Then they was like, I'm done with his ass. Get him out of here.
Exactly. So DeMarcus Cousins.
So we're missing the point. So anyway,
high school.
DeMarcus Cousins wants to be on a better team. So
yeah, no doubt.
Him being with the Kings wasn't helping him mentally.
I don't know if he wants to be on the better team.
Let's see how his stats look for a full season with New Orleans compared to how his stat looks with a full season with the Kings. He was balling with the Kings. Balling with the Kings. Like, he was the man. Top scorer of the squad, averaging double-doubles. Now, if I'm wrong, then that means his stats will be either the same or lower. And if they're the same or lower, he's still going to get traded. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm seeing with DeMarcus Cousins is he was doing that on the USA team. He was getting bad fouls and shit. Yeah, that's DeMarcus Cousins. Hmm. But he still want to play with good ass team. He would still want to be on a good team.
I think any player wants to be on a better team, other than the player who says, I'm the leader and I can bring people along. You ain't got a lot of that no more. Because you see a fucking Golden State over there. It's you ain't got time to be building no team.
Right, but you also got players who Jonathan Simmons, who, hey, I only got under $1 million in this contract. The Magic want me. I know they ain't the best team, but like we was talking, I get 20 minutes a game. I average 12, an additional 8 more points. I'm the man. You know what I'm saying? So it is different agendas for different players. But I think for DeMarcus Cousins specifically, he know how good he is. And he want to win. So he wants to be on the winning team. And maybe that'll reduce his technical fouls from 16 to 12.
But you know what I'm saying? He's getting technical fouls in Pelicans.
Like, what I'm saying. It will. I didn't say it was going to stop his technical fouls. It will reduce his technical fouls because he feels like he's in a better situation. You know what I'm saying? So I just think mentally, DeMarcus Cousins will be a better player if he's around better players that he believes that are better players. So I think he's going to have a great season with Anthony Davis.
Oh, he's going to have 20 and 10. I just don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I just don't think you're going to make the playoffs unless they get Pelicans? Some more help. Yeah. They got zero debt on their team outside those three players.
But
Terrence Jones, but the way these teams
have been decimated with players to be moved all over the place, there's still a good potential for them to be playoff bound, even if they're at the bottom of seed.
That's very true.
They'll probably have the opportunity.
If they were in the Eastern Conference, the Eastern Conference, if they were there, then they would have made the playoffs. But they're in the Western Conference, so you got teams like Portland, you got Minnesota,
right?
Got,
but see, but see, that's the thing. People was crying about Portland not making the playoffs last year. Like, people was really crapping about that, and they made it. So I don't put it past Denver. Just picked up Paul Millsap. You know what I'm saying? Ooh. We ain't talked about them yet. They was number 9 this year. They might take Utah's
they're
spot.
They're making the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They might take Utah's
spot. So
they moved
up. You know what? So no changes?
Who says Utah might not make the playoffs? I mean, they lost Gordon Hayward, yes, but they still got Rudy Gobert. They still got Quinn Snyder as a coach.
No.
And Joe Ingles,
it took Utah years to finally get to the playoffs. They was number 9 last year, and they was supposed to make it. They was bare the year before that. They was like number 10 and should have made it. You know what I'm saying? So, and all of that was with Gordon Hayward. So I definitely think Gordon brought a major asset. They lost a major asset when they lost him. Not only that, you lose George Hill too.
Gordon Hayward was injured for basically half the season.
Who's going to distribute the ball to Gobert?
They got Ricky Rubio. And I know you shit on Ricky Rubio, but he is a decent point guard.
They're not going to make the playoffs.
He is a decent point guard. They can make the eighth seed, I feel like, at best.
Hell nah. Utah?
Yes.
Not without. Who is their second major scorer?
Should have been defensive player of the year.
Rodney Hood is
not a bad player either.
They're not going to make the playoffs with just them two.
Rodney Hood could give you at least 17 a game.
17 a game and what? Third? No. He's not even going to average 22. He's going to average 25 points.
The thing about the Jazz.
25 points and 17 points.
What's
that?
The Jazz.
That's what? 30. That's 42 points a game.
The Jazz's niche is defense. They were the best defensive team in the NBA last season.
So 42 points a game. How many Ingles is going to score? Because Ingles going to score 12.
Ingles will give you, about 12. 15. But he'll give you about 5 assists, 7 rebounds. I mean,
so that's 58 points a game. Let's round it up to 65 points.
It's not all about who.
65 points a game.
It's not all about guys who could give you 30 a game every single time.
But that's what I'm saying. Who else?
If they could limit...
Who else? Thank you. So the same thing you're telling me about the Pelicans.
Hello, Memphis Grizzlies.
No.
Do they got 25 a game scores? No, they don't.
But
they,
we know who's on their squad, though.
All right. So we kind of took it to the, I don't know.
Okay.
Do we?
No.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Okay.
The season hasn't started yet.
No. But we see who's at the bottom, and we know what our top five is. Because whoever outside of, say, they'll make the playoffs, they ain't going no further. They ain't really going no further. We can argue Utah. They may not make the second round. They may make it, but they ain't going second round. They're going to get their ass fucking wiped out.
Yeah.
Sacramento, oh, what a good team. Pelicans, oh, what a... They're not making past the second round. We all know that. I like the trades. I like the movements because everybody's saying we gotta fucking compete. We can't. It's not easy no more. We can't even luck our way into this shit.
Kevin Durant just created a whole paradigm shift. If it wasn't for Kevin Durant moving to the Warriors, none of these trades would happen.
True.
Hayward would have been on Utah probably.
Yeah.
But Hayward was like, look, like, man, I'm gonna go against the Warriors in this conference. let me go to the Eastern Conference where nobody's there.
Yeah, so I can like beat half the motherfuckers over there. Right. So
at least compete.
And then Kyrie wanna leave. This is like it's basically like Celtics who just waltz into the first place seed, pretty much.
Yep. So go back to Golden State. Cause it was kind of, I don't know. It was funny to me that they gave your boy what? How many? $20 million per?
Who? You talking about? I know you ain't talking about that light-skinned dude.
Yo. Oh, $25 million a year
gave
for
him
Kevin Durant?
40.5 a year.
40?
Yeah. They gave 40. Steph Curry 40.
And they
40.
Gave
45.
Durant
25.
Really?
Well, Kevin Durant, he wanted to take a pay cut because, hey, Kevin Durant got all these endorsement deals. He already got these max contracts before. He was like, hey, I want to win. And Stephen Curry's been severely underpaid for how many
years?
But
he won!
Yeah, and he wants to win some more.
So I want to win some more, and you want to win. Give me my fucking money.
Hey, Stephen Curry, how much money he makes for Golden State for just being as marketable as well. LeBron James, I think he said that he should be getting paid $200 million. Yeah, he should be
LeBron,
paid.
Yeah, LeBron did.
He should be paid even more than that. I think he said $400 million. Because given how much money he makes for the Golden State Warriors.
True. Just alone, what he brings for them. Yeah, what he brings.
Like kids, like you could go. Like for Atlanta, for example, when Golden State plays Atlanta, especially I work in downtown Atlanta,
right.
Mm-hmm. I see a bunch of these kids wearing Curry shirts, going, and Warriors are the away team, going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's almost like a home game for the Warriors, but just because how marketable
that's
like Curry
every team, yeah, though. That's like every, you got Knicks
Kobe,
fans, and the Knicks
here,
fucking suck.
Yeah. It was so loud of Lakers fans.
But guys like that deserve all the money they can have because how much money they make for the team. Warriors are easily going to clear that contract given how marketable Stephen Curry is. And Durant was like, hey, like, look, I already made all this money. I could just take this $25 million a year. Stephen Curry's been paid on, what, $12 million a year prior to this? He's been, Kemp Baseball gets paid $18 million a year. Curry that year was getting paid $12 million. Curry was getting paid $6 million less than a guy who couldn't start for the Atlanta Hawks.
So double his salary.
He deserves
God
all
damn,
that money,
man.
Right now.
Double his salary. But $40 million?
Hey, like I said, he is so marketable that even
so
that for Curry, that's like underpaid.
He's so marketable.
So to your point, it's a business.
It's not the fact that he's the best player in the NBA because he's not.
It's
but
a business.
But just because he's so marketable. Yeah, it's a business.
That's what I told you.
He's so marketable for the children.
And you agree on that business aspect, right?
Yes.
Boston Celtics.
No, Curry is 10 times more marketable than Isaiah Thomas.
It don't matter about 10 times.
That spectrum.
It ain't about 10 times.
Well.
It ain't about 10 times.
Well.
It's about marketability.
Right.
And they needed
and
that
before
with
Gordon
Isaiah
Hayward
Thomas.
Got there, before
it was
Gordon
Isaiah
Hayward got there,
Thomas.
They needed that marketing. And they didn't, and to your point, Pops, they didn't get rid of him. But guess who they did get rid of?
That was a great.
The one they couldn't market. And guess who that was? Avery Bradley. They got rid of Avery Bradley, and they put him, with Detroit?
Yep.
Which was great for Detroit. Because now they got somebody to build around. You know what I'm saying?
Think about the Celtics. Since they had both Bradley and Smart, they could afford to lose at least one of them. I mean, those two players are rare to have on even one team. But you got those two players on the same team. It's rare to have one of those players on one team. So they could afford to trade one of those players. Avery Bradley was always going to be the more expensive player because he gives you a little bit more on offense than Marcus Smart does. Well, to your point,
he was going
to
ask for more money. And it was, exactly.
He was
going to
ask for just as much as Isaiah Thomas was going to ask.
So for Boston, for Tom Brady land, do I max out this black guy by the name of Avery Bradley, or do I max out this white guy who can be friends with Tom Brady, who could live in Boston Brad Stevens, who's his image
best friend. When I said way back when Celtics should trade Isaiah Thomas, I said that without thinking. Well, I said that if they didn't trade their first pick.
Right.
But if they trade their first pick for the third pick, I was like, okay, then they can keep Isaiah Thomas because they don't have to draft Markelle Fultz.
But you said they still needed to trade him, though.
I said eventually you don't want to pay a 5'9" guard $30 million.
I got you.
Hey, I guess the alternative
he's 27
years
old.
So what they're doing is transitioning him. Yeah. To your point, I think they're transitioning him because now that Haywood is there, he's going to be the face because Boston wants to see that face. They don't – Isaiah, they'll live with that. But Gordon Haywood, if he puts up the points – he rubbed noses or shoulders.
Isaiah Thomas is still going to be the leading scorer.
Don't matter.
This year.
It don't matter, though.
He's a better scorer than Gordon Hayward overall. Hayward is a better scorer.
You know why this is awesome? Because you're looking at it from the stat view. And it's not about the stats. It's not about the numbers.
No, I'm
that
saying
we put
Hayward
on the board.
Is much more efficient than
it's Thomas.
It's
about Boston, and it's about marketing to the Boston fans.
Exactly.
That's all it's about.
Right.
So I mean, fuck how many numbers.
Yep.
Now, to your point. Now with Gordon Hayward here, now I agree with you. Now they are going to get rid of Isaiah Thomas.
Yep.
And like to you, what you said, they're going to transition him because they're not going to pay Isaiah Thomas more money than Gordon Hayward.
No, they have to pay Isaiah Thomas now because they don't pay Isaiah Thomas. Celtics are going to be taking a step back.
No, they won't. No, they're not.
You know why? Because people want to play for Boston now.
Who's going to be their starting point guard?
People want to play for Boston now. You know why? Because you got Gordon Hayward. You got the face there now. All you need is somebody that's going to compliment Gordon Hayward.
That's it.
And Danny Ainge is a great GM, dog. I must admit.
He does really well.
I must admit. Danny Ainge is a great GM.
And I wouldn't say that if it was anyone else, because I don't like Boston.
You're right.
But you got to respect they ass. And it's about the respect. I see what they're doing.
They are not.
I didn't agree with you. I didn't. And I'll say it. I did not. I was like, you crazy if they're going to get rid of Isaiah Thomas. They got Gordon Hayward. He's going to get rid of everybody.
They should if they had a point guard like Markelle Fultz that I thought they were going to they might draft.
But I'm leveraging what you said. I'm leveraging what you said about Golden State because you opened the door with that. Because that's exactly what he's not worth it. I think he's good enough. He should get his money. I'm not saying he shouldn't get his money. Should he get that much? No, but he's worth it because he's still marketable.
But now what the Celtics did is they got Gordon Hayward. He's 6'8". He's going to play a 2 spot. They got Jason Tatum. He's 6'8", 6'9". Mm-hmm. He's going to play a 3 and 4 spot. If you watch the summer league, you watch this guy. He's the real deal.
Yeah, he's
pretty
good.
Jaylen Brown. Got a lot of potential. They got Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart is point guard version of Ben Wallace. Mm-hmm. They got Al Horford. Al Horford's still decent.
Right.
All they're missing is now a power forward. What they could get in this next draft, since they still got Brooklyn's pick, and Brooklyn still looks like they could be the worst team this year. So they might get Michael Porter Jr., who's a 6'10 power forward, or they got DeAndre Ayton, who's 7'1". They got a bunch of big men in this upcoming draft, so they can fill that need.
Set.
Now they got the size that they were lacking previous years.
So they're set. They don't need a 5'3 guard.
No, or whatever. They could afford to use a guy like Isaiah Thomas because while Isaiah Thomas lacks in size, they got everybody else looks like monsters.
Marcus Smart will shortly be the second string point guard after they trade. No, they're not even going to trade Isaiah Thomas.
I don't think they're going to pay Isaiah.
They're not exactly.
They're going to force his ass.
They're not going to trade Isaiah. But they're going to be like, hey, go on free agency list.
Yeah, because right now,
what they give you.
With this nucleus now, they're not going to let him go. Because you got, wow.
Why would you think that? The funny part is.
Prepared to win
I agree with
him.
You now, and you don't even agree with the point that you said the first time. That's so weird. Like, I said, I got you, bro. They need to get rid of his ass. Nope, they don't need to get rid of him no more. Why?
I'm not saying they shouldn't. I mean, honestly, at this point, since they drafted Markelle Fultz, which was a point guard, they should get rid of Isaiah Thomas. But now, since they already got rid of Avery Bradley, now they can't get rid of Thomas. It was going to be one of those three. Smart, Thomas, or Bradley. Because you got to pay all three of them. So since they already got rid of Bradley, now they could afford to pay Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart. They wouldn't have got rid of Avery Bradley if they weren't going to pay Isaiah Thomas. If they weren't going to pay Isaiah Thomas, they wouldn't have got rid of Avery Bradley.
I think they're trying to pay Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, so I'm still going with what you said the last podcast was, and I'm going to extend your thought. Your thought was, what do you want with a guard of that size who doesn't do defense? Yeah, he scores, but that's not enough for that team.
Exactly.
I totally agree with you. With the squad that they're building right now, they don't need him. They can bring in somebody who would need a score to get what they need. They are prepared to win.
How often is it a five number star player though?
Say again.
Kyrie's
on the market.
Kyrie's on the market, but are they really going to make that trade? I mean, if Cavaliers come to Danny Ainge and offer straight up, like, look, we're going to trade you Kyrie straight up for Isaiah Thomas. I was the GM. I would think about it. Well, if I was thinking about team chemistry and all that, I would take it in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. But now I probably wouldn't take it. Because thinking about team chemistry, if you trade Isaiah Thomas, how are guys like Jay Crowder going to feel? How are guys like Al Horford going to feel? Because they're going to think like, wait, what? Are we just like pieces to you? Are we just like pawns to you? Are we going to be expendable?
Yes.
You traded our guy that we thought was going to be ride and die for us. You traded our heart and soul of the team just so you could get Kyrie Irving.
This is a business.
But you got to think about, if you want to win, you got to think about personalities. You got to think about morale.
Dude, so, Avery Bradley was Kevin on Durant. That squad when the year after they won a championship. If they wanted to keep chemistry, they would have kept him, Avery Bradley, there. Avery Bradley is probably like, he was probably the oldest Celtic there until they got rid of him.
I would say oldest, longest tenured Celtic.
Yeah. At the current moment. Yep. He was probably the longest one.
He was the only
remaining
member from the Big Three era.
Right. So I think
we kind of belabored that shit too. I'm excited by Boston. I'm telling you now.
Okay.
I'm excited by Boston. But potentially, I still see long term. I agree with Sean. That dude's gone. I'm not saying I don't see your point.
He was gone. I said he should be gone when they already had his replacement, Markelle Fultz. Because I felt like the consensus was like, hey, they're going to draft Markelle Fultz and they're going to try to use Isaiah Thomas and Markelle Fultz together.
Boston don't like paying people big money. Gordon Hayward is going to be the highest paid player on that team.
He's already $30 million. But they traded Avery Bradley for the reason so they can pay Isaiah Thomas next year.
So watch the season.
They might not try to pay him long term. Yes, you're going to try. If in the perfect world, Danny Ainge probably will offer him a 3-year contract.
Right.
But Isaiah Thomas is going to fight for like a 5-6 year contract. So they're probably going to have a middle ground. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Isaiah Thomas might have to take less because because the agent might have to tell him, like, look, in the market, not a lot of teams are actually going to pay you $30 million
So basically, you're saying that instead of him saying, I want my max money, he's going to settle for what Boston is going to give him.
That, or they're just not going to pay, they're going to pay him a max contract, but it's not going to be a long-term max contract.
I think Isaiah wants his money.
Which will be great for the Celtics as long as you can pay him for like 3 or so years because he's approaching 30. Guys, his height don't last long in the NBA. So if you can pay for like 3 or 4 years, we can get his best production, then that's a perfect world for the Celtics.
So I think get him off the books. In the end, the season will tell. Because if he gets injured, they're fucked.
Yep.
The dude's, he's done. He's done. He's gone. And like right second, now, second, hold on. Second, if Gordon Hayward has a monster of a year and you start seeing the advertisements with him everywhere,
don't let Isaiah Thomas get injured and they go on a win streak.
Hey, white privilege
don't let that happen.
White privilege doesn't affect the basketball now. The NBA
in Boston.
Yes, it does.
White privilege has its advantages in Boston.
Yes, it does.
Period.
You should know that. Come on now. You need to wake up on that one. Isaiah
Thomas is a 5'9 point guard. This guy is the ultimate role model for children.
Oh my God.
That's so sweet. You're, Gordon Hayward's there, and now Isaiah's for the kids.
You know what? It's so funny, Shay, for what you said, you was ready to bury this little guy. This is the most worthless little bastard in the world. Now he's like, but what about the kids?
Put him back in the box and return him to the store. That's what you was telling me.
With the little Elmo.
What children think. What I'm trying to
rip
say.
Rip the string from his back.
I don't give a damn what children think. What I'm trying to say is Isaiah Thomas is still going to be the most marketable player in the Celtics regardless if Hayward is there. Hayward is still going to be beloved by the fans, by Isaiah Thomas. He is the Paul Pierce right now for this team. Not saying he is Paul Pierce. He's never going to be Paul Pierce.
Gordon Hayward
is still the
new Paul
most
Pierce.
Beloved player on that team.
So his ass
he's
is gonna
always going to be the most beloved
gonna
player
be
on that team.
The Robert Parrish. He's going to be behind Larry Bird and McHale. He's going to be behind the white guys. He will be behind them. I don't want
to
say I guarantee
Gordon Hayward because he's a phenomenal player.
Yeah, he is a great player. He's a good player. He's an all-star player.
But he definitely is using his white privilege and not saying nothing about it.
I don't think he's using it. I think they invited him to the dance.
And he's not like, hey, this is strange. He's just like, thanks for the invite.
Thanks
guys.
For the invite. I'll be right there.
I mean,
with Kasaj and all, he's there. But I think back to your point: one is a business, and two is the marketability. If you can market a person and they can play, pay them, put them up front, keep the seats full, start giving out the shirts, minimize the other guy. Look, because Danny Ainge is smart. Look for who can replace. Isaiah Thomas
for a cheaper price.
Who can do that? Force him to say
so we can get somebody good.
Remember, you
and
said
we can get a power forward.
You said don't give him the max contract. I can give you good money for these 2 years, or maybe three, but I can't
give
you
max contract for 2 years. That could be fine as long as the contract isn't long term.
But then Isaiah probably knows. Look, if I don't get a long term, My window is going to be shorter.
Yep.
Because soon as I get up out of here, people aren't going to give me a long term.
They're going to give me the Rondo treatment. You know what I'm saying?
And he'd be a traveling midget around this motherfucker.
And that's what we got to wait and see. But this season is a trial period to see if they could coexist.
Yes.
To see Isaiah Thomas could take his game to another level. We could go back to the 2001 Philadelphia 76ers when you had Allen Iverson and then a bunch of big, lumbering, non-offensive players who just play defense and hustle. Right. Iverson was bad on the defensive end. All he did was score, similar to Isaiah Thomas, but you surrounded him with guys who are defensive. They need a ball in their hands and who had size. Mm-hmm. Celtics now, I mean, they lost Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley was a pit bull. He was a perimeter defender.
Yeah.
But he was still, all in all, just 6'2". Now you replace that with a guy who's 6'8 that can play a shooting guard spot. You got Jaylen Brown, who's 6'6 but plays like a big man. You got Jason Tatum, who's 6'8, 6'9. You got Jay Crowder, who's 6'7. Mm-hmm. Then you got the 4 and the 5 spot. They all got size now. They're all versatile.
With
they
the small guy.
Up, even more for Isaiah Thomas's deficiencies.
I get that.
Into the first place spot right now, given that Cavs might trade Kyrie Irving, they're gonna do the Ric Flair strut to the first place spot.
They're gonna keep it. I believe they're gonna keep the first place spot. I get that, and you know what? Everything you said makes sense, but this is a business, and it's about the marketability of the area. I want to market who I want, and business-wise, it's good business to develop a team that people are going to rally around and feel comfortable. If they're comfortable and they rally around and you can make this one guy a star, everybody's happy.
And if I know,
Philly's all about grinding.
Right.
Philly is all of the hard streets. So when you had that one guy, it didn't matter what his sign was, his size was. Iverson was that street. I'm going to make it happen. That's that environment. Boston is like, we want our image. Mm-hmm. If you look up on the walls, we're always going to be the best. I want the best. And the best looked a certain color. Sorry.
I mean, well, Paul Pierce.
They got lucky. They got lucky.
Yeah, they definitely
was. We did get Obama, that. Though. You know that, right?
What?
There was 54 other presidents, and then we got Obama?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, true.
That's what I'm saying.
I get your point, I guess.
Yeah, so I'm king of analogies.
I mean, we know Boston.
But hey, Larry Bird is like the Jordan of white people now. So you can't.
Of course. No. They are who they are.
They got Bill Russell. That. They celebrate Bill Russell back in time when we had the segregation era now.
They were winning.
Yeah, but they he was still beloved now. It was like it was because hated.
They were winning.
It was like they had pitchforks and everything trying to tell them get out of town because you're black.
Right, well, but I'm glad they wasn't losing.
They did that with Julius Erving.
Because if they was losing, they were losing, that would have been a different story.
And then I could imagine being the opposing team coming to Boston while Bill Russell was whipping my ass and I had to, or we were whipping Bill Russell's team ass and I had to hear the crowd tell me the color of my skin in the way they felt comfortable saying it.
Yep. Why you got that nigga behind it? He's the coach. He's the everything. And they losing? Come on now.
Or maybe I'm just basing all this on the stereotype of Boston.
Yes, I think you are.
It could be.
And maybe it's just the stereotype
of
Boston.
We're not all white people now.
You tell me if I'm wrong. Please. Black people who stay in Boston, let me know if I'm
those
wrong.
Hey, we got some stated. Hoods in Boston.
We didn't. Oh, yeah. We never said there wasn't any hoods in Boston.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. But we know what's there, though.
And we I've know why Gordon Hayward's there.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Trust and believe. That's what my girl always said. Trust and believe.
Look.
I got from that. So we got one and two. Who else is even in the top five in the East that you can just say, they gotta kind of have a chance.
Bucks.
Wizards.
Bucks.
Wizards. Oh, yeah. Bucks.
Yeah, so Bucks was competitive last year. That's what I promised I was gonna watch them this year.
And they're getting even better this year. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's gonna be the best player in a few years.
Okay.
I hope so. I need to start following him on the ground.
And I like Washington, but if they can't get that shit together between them two, man, that's just this.
Toronto. Toronto's still going to be up there.
Toronto, they're going to be there. Quo, they're just going to be there. Kyle Lowry to a long-term contract. They did a status quo.
So
they'll be there.
Which call is going to drop off?
Pacers, of course.
Pacers going to drop off for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So you believe Miami's still going to be competitive?
Oh yeah.
Miami, they were 41-41 while starting out being the worst team for like the first 20 games of the season. So they're going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, Chicago, they're going to drop off. Yeah, Detroit, they're going to jump in.
What about Atlanta going to stay status quo?
No, Atlanta's going to be contending with Philadelphia 76ers there you Brooklyn go. For the first picks. Well, actually, no.
Not for the first pick.
Philadelphia,
thank
is,
you.
Going,
thank
Philadelphia
you.
Is going to the playoffs.
Thank
no,
you.
No, Atlanta's going to be in the bottom feeders. But Philadelphia might be going to the playoffs.
Yeah, yes. I think Philly going to go next year. They're going to be replacing Indiana, and then I think Miami's going to go, and they're going to be replacing Atlanta.
New York is tentative if they get Kyrie. It's tentative.
That's if they get Kyrie. If not, they're still searching.
If not, they're going to be bottom feeders as well.
Yeah,
you know, right. You know, New York thing. They're just going to be good enough to not be the top five and probably just going to get number six, number seven.
Well, Phil's not there, though. Phil's not there anymore. So.
Yeah, Phil isn't there. So I mean, it should be a different
even when Phil
look.
Wasn't there, they still did not draft Stephen Curry.
We're terrible.
So,
they're definitely...
They just missed out on Dennis Smith. We saw what he did in the summer league. I mean, I watched this guy in college and in high school. Mm. I'm like, how you have Dennis Smith fall right to your lap and you still not draft him? He was the obvious pick. And now look what he did in the summer league. He averaged about 21 a game, 6 rebounds,
that was
4 assists.
Phil Jackson. So hopefully we get a better general manager.
Hopefully Ntilikina is a star player. Hopefully he becomes the next big thing.
Yeah, he wasn't even in the summer league, was
Not
he?
Not at all. So,
so he didn't even get to play?
He was worth it. Hopefully
he's going to get injured. He's going to get injured. That's usually how it happens. When you pull an international player and then you're just like, hey, get in there.
They don't get to play.
That's Dante Exum.
They're going to get injured their first season. So I don't see Frank. I don't see Frank playing the whole season. I don't even see him playing 60 games, to be honest with you.
Damn.
You know, so.
I hope he was worth it because Dennis Smith, he's looking like Baron Davis 2.0 right now.
Yeah, he was balling. He's selfish than a motherfucker, but he was balling.
I was not surprised because if you watch this guy play, he was just as good as De'Aaron Fox, Lonzo Ball, and Mark.
Right.
Oakley.
Yeah, yeah, he was.
He was right on their level.
His scoring is impeccable. His passing is average.
Goddamn
his defense is okay.
Only reason.
Lonzo.
Lonzo.
Yeah.
Lonzo Ball is one of a kind.
Damn.
This guy is Jason. This guy might be Jason Kidd reincarnated right here. I do not want to use that comparison because that guy's a legend. But watching Lonzo Ball,
he looked good out there.
He did fucking good.
He looked really good.
Spins he put on. He was spinning the ball like Roger Federer does on a tennis.
Yeah. He's very smart with that ball.
Right.
And he wasn't looking to score. That was the thing that I noticed. I seen that he was.
I think he was doing like a little audition for a shoe brand.
No, that was what he was doing.
First game, he was being very passive. Then it was like once he started wearing the Nikes and Adidas, it's like, okay, let me show out my game so I could get
with these sneakers on.
Throwing bids on.
That's right. What you said, Sean. Right?
Yeah, it was. It was a bid. He was bidding off
now,
for 300 million
now. They're bidding for his services for Nike and Adidas, 300 million.
But see what he's doing.
This is smart
marketing genius. Because what's going to end up happening is the big baller brand name is still going to be on the shoe.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So
now he's going to have Nike. Sponsoring it.
Right. Yeah. So Nike might be in the shoe.
Yeah.
You might see the Nike logo in the shoe or on the bottom of the shoe, but it's going to be that baller brand on that name. Yeah. That name is going to be
like
on
the
there.
Jordan
I
brand.
I don't know how LeVar Ball never got a job in this before because he is a marketing genius.
Oh, come on, man. Look at him.
They create their own Jordan label right now.
But that's exactly what they did.
But he had to boost a product that was good, though. It had to be good.
Right.
And his kids, he prepped them for it.
He banked on his son, but he already knew how Lonzo Ball was. He talked all his shit because he knew Lonzo Ball was one of a kind.
Mm-hmm. Everybody didn't actually co-sign to it. They said, "Oh, he's good," but they didn't co-sign this kid is great
because they wanted a reason to hate Lonzo,
right?
Because LeVar talks all this shit, so they wanted a reason to hate Lonzo,
right?
Even Lonzo had that 36 points, 8 rebounds, and 12 assists game. I was still checking the comment section on NBA.com on their Facebook page. There's some people say, "Oh, this is just summer league." I'm like, "No, calm down."
Bro, if you putting up triple doubles, a triple double is a triple double, man.
Stop sipping the hater rate.
Yeah,
when he had a bad game the first game, they were saying, like, "See, I told you. I know this guy's going to be a bust. I told you."
But it was a summer game.
Yeah, but now when he had a good game, it's just a summer league. Like, stop hating.
He wins the MVP of the summer league, and you don't play the last game of the playoffs.
Which I feel it still should have been Kuzma, but I mean, hey.
I mean, you put up you damn near put up 3 triple-doubles in the whole jump off, and you wear a different brand of shoe every time. You know what I'm saying?
Meaning, he was playing like a different style every time he wore a different brand of shoe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, "Hey, D, this is what I can do for you. Hey, Jordan Brand,
this is what I can do for you.
Hey, Nike,
Hey, Jordan Brand, I put up a double-double in the first half. And that was his last game that he played.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? This is what I can do for you. Even though, you know, he So I enjoyed watching him play. I really enjoyed watching him play.
Dude got some freaking skills that I just really like. Damn. But see, he transitioned so well to say, I can do this anytime.
And Lonzo Ball, he's just like that one of a kind player. Like,
I can play any league. Yeah, I can play any league. When I seen that, it made me know that, oh, he's going to be all right in the NBA.
Well, tickets were selling for like $200 in Las Vegas for a summer league game. Like, you never
heard that. Was like, yeah, and we're sold out here. I was like, that's interesting.
This is much, I mean, this is already outselling WNBA. Not to mention even the big three, they were blowing that out the water. Sorry there, Sean, but they were blowing that out the water.
But I got you. Yeah, I see the argument.
I mean, Lonzo Ball was doing something unprecedented for the summer league.
So recap. 3-on-3 was okay. Mm-hmm. It was okay.
I got you.
I'm sorry. You talking about
the big three.
The big three. I'm sorry. I gotta be honest with you. I gotta come clean now. Okay. It was trash. I got you. Absolutely trash. I gotta come clean. This is me being 100% honest, 100% real with you.
Okay.
That the big three was trash. It's a falter. I don't think it's gonna be renewed for the second season. There's gonna be drastic trade changes.
Because,
and it's still not gonna sell. So why? It's not gonna be renewed for the third season.
Why?
Because players are getting hurt. Players are not coming to play. Gary Payton really said that, hey, I got bills to play. I got bills to pay. That's why I'm not paying for this big three, man. I'm going to do something else because I got bills to pay.
Damn.
Allen Iverson did not play in Philadelphia. He did not play in
Philadelphia. He only played one game the whole time. But I got you.
The crowd was booing because they don't want to see Jerome what's-his-name from the 1996 Toronto Raptors. They want to see Allen Iverson. They want to see the legend. He was the whole reason why. He is the selling point of the big three. Allen Iverson was the number one selling point of the big three.
Gotcha.
But guess what? He plays only one game. Do I really want to watch the Jesus play?
Watched it. And it was just okay.
Right.
I don't want to see it again. That's the problem.
Right.
It was okay.
Right.
And I don't want to see it again.
There was one time I was texting you and I was watching it. Mm-hmm. If you remember, I was like bouncing between WWE Raw, Summer League, which actually had Lonzo LeVar Ball that time, Summer League, and the
Big that was like the second week, I think it was.
Yeah, and I was watching the big three. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this player. Oh, yeah, I remember him from the Hawks back in 04.
Yeah.
But then again, I was like, yo, Bonzi Wells, this dude look out of shape. This dude looked like 300 pounds. This guy was like a 6'6 muscular shooting guard back then when he played for the Blazers. But now this guy got that super beer belly. Why don't I want to watch this guy play where he could barely move at all? Oh, it's not a good look.
It wasn't Sean, I'm telling you, it wasn't a good look.
Once you
start going and looking at these lumbering ass dudes,
was interesting? The basketball tournament. That was interesting. It's a tournament where you have former college stars. They're still in their 20s, still in late 20s, still playing in Europe. And whoever wins, it's all or nothing. They get $2 million. The whole team gets $2 million. And the second place, he gets $0, whoever wins.
So win or die, basically.
Yeah, so there was this team, of course, Scarlet and Gray. They were the old Ohio State players. So you got guys like John Diebler, who was, I believe, from like 2012 Ohio State team. You had Jared Solinger, who's currently not on a job, but he's been playing so well on the basketball tournament that NBA teams are now looking at him to sign him again because of the basketball tournament. You got all guys like David Leidy, who's like one of the stars for Ohio State, like, in 2013. You got Evan Turner as the assistant coach. Then you got all these other college teams with their old college stars who are still in their mid to late 20s or early 30s.
What did that show up at?
On ESPN.
Okay.
So, you should tune into it. It's called the Basketball Tournament, TBT. And that was interesting because these guys, they're still playing basketball. Like this guy, Jerome Randall. I remember watching him in college. This guy was averaging like 30 a game in the basketball tournament. These guys are still in their prime. This 5-on-5 basketball, full court. They're playing in the Barclays Center.
Right.
This was still interesting. This was still fun. Because, I mean, it's like still watching glorified college basketball during the offseason. So this was still fun.
So what you're saying with that is, if you're a basketball lover.
Exactly.
That's the kind of basketball you would want to see.
Yeah, that's a the definitely kind of basketball you want to watch. And these guys are putting it on the line because it's $2 million or nothing.
Yep.
You there's this guy I know he's his name is Scootie Penn. I forgot what college he played for, but I remember watching him. Like he this guy should be eligible for the big three because he's like in his 30s or 40s.
Damn.
Was he on the court? No. He was being the coach. He was mic'd up. So you got that. You were hearing cuss words. Of course, they bleeped it out, but it felt like raw. It felt like a reality show, but it also felt like legit basketball game.
Right.
So I got you, and I still watch it. I personally still enjoy it. I personally don't have a problem watching Al Harrington ball the fuck out. I don't have a problem watching Deshaun Stevenson do
fine.
His motherfucking thing.
It's fine. You like but it. I love it.
But that's what I'm saying. So I don't mind watching Ice Cube's League do whatever the fuck it does. You know what I'm saying? I'm enjoying the piece of history that it is. You know what I'm saying? I'm also enjoying the game. You know what I'm saying? I'm also enjoying the game for what it is. So I do like the players. I do think the players are bringing more to the table. Okay. Injuries are injuries. Like I said, tell that to Joel Embiid.
These players tell
that to Ben Simmons.
They're way too old to play. That's why they get injured every single game.
So I enjoy the fact that you feel like they're putting it on the line for $2 million, but I feel like these quote unquote old men are putting it on the line for what they feel is important.
Well, they pride. Not. And,
you know what I'm saying?
And Gary Payton skips a game because he say he got bills to pay. So obviously not. They're not putting it on the line.
I'm enjoying it.
It's preference, and I look at it as preference. But I also look at it like, you know, I don't drink soda.
Right.
That's a preference. Shit's still bad for you, though.
Exactly. I mean,
I don't think that's worth it. I don't. But there's people who think it is. Mm-hmm. And you're one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the longevity of it, it depends on how many people see it like.
Right. How many people see it like and how many people don't.
I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. Some people said, man, I ain't watching fucking Game of Thrones. That is the most stupid. I ain't wasting my time with that. Some people are obsessed with that
like
shit.
Me. Right. Whoever say that is an idiot.
And I don't watch it.
No, they're
I don't.
Not idiots.
I don't faithfully watch it.
No, that's not me either. I watch it.
Right.
Okay, religiously. Okay. But there's people that don't, and I'm like, okay. You know, the quality of it is something you don't understand.
You see, I'm so passionate about Game of Thrones that I think if you don't watch it and you think The Walking Dead is better, I was like, I'll look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah, everybody
but that's
watched
how,
that.
That's how I feel about it.
But Walking Dead is in Atlanta,
though. If
you
watch a Big Three over Summer League, I'm like, look at you like, no, I'm not doing right. that.
So that's like, what I'm saying. So players, it's a preference thing, but I wanted to recap to the point of, because we say we're going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched two of them, and the second one I didn't. No, both of them I didn't get all the way through. I'm not going to lie. I didn't get all the way through. I was like, okay.
Right.
It didn't keep me captivated. It just didn't. And I'm wondering who's going to stay tuned to it. I know you are, but I just don't know anybody.
For me,
else.
It was like, I was like, oh, cool. Demar Johnson, I remember this player. Monzie Wells, I remember this player. But then after I got back from the nostalgia act, it's like they're old men playing basketball. So I'm like, okay, let me just change the channel.
So trade-wise, let's go back to the trade. So to, you know, kind of summarize, close things up, if Kyrie Irving actually leaves, where does that leave Cleveland without gaining?
Limbo.
Conference finals?
Really?
Oh, no.
Conference finals.
Yeah. I was thinking about winning the conference finals.
No. In the conference finals.
They still got a chance with LeBron.
Depends who they get
LeBron
return.
James.
But depends who they get in return for Kyrie.
So, Kyrie was the balance, though.
Boston's not better than Golden State.
But they're better than Cleveland without Kyrie.
But I definitely think that the Cavaliers still have a chance of making it to the finals. They're going to still make it to the conference finals. They're, without a doubt.
So I think they will to the conference finals. Just like I think Houston will match up with Golden State.
But will they make it to the conference finals? Are you saying that they're going
to
make
it to the conference finals? I think they'll make it to the conference finals.
Okay.
I think because they had the chance to do it this year. They had the chance. They just didn't.
Right.
But they got the potential. But let's see what the two chefs do. That's what I'm waiting on. If D'Antoni is the man you say he is, they'll make the conference finals.
Hey, two chefs can make a souffle if the manager is creative enough to like, hey, you can start with this side. You can put the seasonings on the other side. That's they can make a souffle.
Only way that they'll win. If he leaves them to their own devices, they're done. They'll make the playoffs. There's no doubt that they make the playoffs. They can't sustain. I don't think they will be able to sustain.
Can Houston beat Boston?
I think so. I think the weaponry can beat them. The way they play that fast and their 3-point percentage shooting and the way they play, I think they can.
The thing about Boston is it's not just about this year. They possibly got the number one pick in an extreme. This draft is very strong next year. You don't know how coming strong up. These players mm-hmm. are coming. Michael mm-hmm. Porter Jr., this guy is compared to Kevin Durant. This guy, he got coached by Brandon Roy, who won the former Blazers players. Mm. And they won a championship. They won a high school championship. This guy is the next big thing. If Celtics get that player and he could be a power forward as well, the Celtics are set. They could pay Isaiah Thomas how much money they want. Because if they get that another superstar player from the draft, they might be championship contenders right then and there. You got Jason Tatum already. Jason Tatum, like we said, has looked like the real deal. He might be a star. He looks like he could be a 20-game scorer down the line. You got Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown looks like he's going to be a very decent player.
I just want to know where the change of heart came from with this Isaiah Thomas he can say thing. It's just so surprising to me.
What I said from the past podcast
just baffles me right
now.
If
they draft Markelle Fultz, then after that you trade Isaiah Thomas.
But you know what?
Get Markelle Fultz, then you can keep Isaiah
Shay,
Thomas.
Shay, there was a little more than just the Markelle Fultz.
Because I felt like if they had number one pick, Markelle Fultz, then okay, you draft Isaiah Thomas. But that trade that they had where they traded for the third pick plus got another high first round pick, that was actually probably a better alternative.
If they knew.
Because now they got two high first round picks for next year.
Man, if they knew, they could have and would have got Gordon Hayward before the draft, I believe they would have picked up Markelle Fultz. And got rid of, like you said, to your point, Isaiah Thomas. If they would have picked up Gordon Hayward before.
Jason Tatum number one. I didn't believe him at first, but then after watching the summer league, I was like, okay, Danny Ainge, you probably would have drafted Jason Tatum number one if you knew he was this good. So, hey, I like what they did now. I like what they did.
That's why I'm excited to see them. And I'm not a Boston fan. I like when basketball plays and moves are done in the smart way. I really like the smart choices. Boston had a really good offseason. Minnesota is, I just want to see how that comes together.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pieces they put together, but can they make it work together? That's going to make it exciting. And these crazy little, you know, the Oklahoma and the Houston. I really want to see how those come together. That's exciting to me. So this season is going to be exciting other than the East Coast and watching what Boston does and how it depends on where Kyrie goes. If he goes.
Yeah, he's gone. Well, the chemistry, like you said, the chemistry is already blown for next season if he stays.
Because he's already said, I want to get the fuck out of here.
Right. So, you know, they're still going to be first, second. Well, they're still going to be second, you know, easy.
Yeah, if anything.
Right.
Right.
You know, and they're still going to make it to the conference finals. And if Kyrie's there, they still might win in seven games. You know what I'm saying? But I still think they're going to trade him. They're going to have to trade him. The chemistry is just off. How the information came out, LeBron, how the news came out.
But LeBron,
it was just like
LeBron was the first to say something before Kyrie said he wanted to be traded. LeBron was like, I am not pleased with these fucking off the way the offseason went
right.
for us.
Yeah.
And then after that, then you heard Kyrie said, man, trade me. Get me the hell up out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So those two were pissed. Now, LeBron got to, he's got to do what he got to do, but he still may be gone.
Yeah, he got 2-year contract.
Yeah.
So he's going to ride it out till next year.
And be like, y'all know what's going to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
He already probably told him, y'all know what's going to fucking happen. So fuck you and the city now. Sorry.
Right. But understand, Kyrie had beef with Dion Waiters when Dion Waiters was there, too. So this isn't nothing new that Kyrie has been doing. So I just want to remind people that it's not, I don't want y'all to think that, or I want people to think that, oh, LeBron's doing this or LeBron's doing that. When they were saying that Kyrie says he needs more touches and he needs to be the guy, I kind of believe a little bit of that because of the history of the Dion Waiters issue. That was a real big issue.
But that's Dion Waiters. Dion Waiters is a role player.
But when he goes to Miami, what is he? Is he still classified as a role player?
I mean, how many years it took him to finally find his niche? He went through OKC.
But understand what I'm saying, though. He never felt like he was a role player. That was the argument in Cleveland. And then when he went to OKC, he was the role player, but he wasn't fitting that role as well.
James Harden replaced him.
Right, but he was better. He wasn't as good coming off the bench. But then when he goes to Miami, he's not coming off the bench, and he's getting more PT.
But even though Dion Waiters had his best season to date, I mean, he's still not the player that you pair next to Kyrie. Like, oh, this guy's going to be your Bradley Beal to your John Wall.
But what I'm saying is Kyrie, it was always a, you're going to keep him or I'm going to leave. That was that issue. Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the Cavaliers did anything wrong. But what I'm saying is that was a situation that was going on. And Kyrie was part of that situation.
And so, you already gave credit to Spoelstra. I mean, did I say his name right? The Miami
Spoelstra.
Coach.
Spoelstra. Yeah.
He just said, I can develop this guy.
Right.
I can pull out what I need for him to be great. If he's that good of a coach, coach, not manager, he developed that guy. And now he's looking like, oh, what the hell? This dude is pretty damn good.
Right.
Whereby in Cleveland, I still don't think they had any good coaches there.
Hmm.
They won. But I just don't know if he's the guy. You know,
Who, Kyrie?
No, the coach.
Tyronn Lue.
Yeah, Lue. I think he's the manager. He manages the people.
But for that team, you need a manager of egos. You don't need a coach. Yeah. These guys are talented.
Like Phil Jackson.
You need a manager of egos. I know this is going to be way out left field for y'all. We go to soccer, Real Madrid. They got the most talent. They got the best players at each position.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They've always had.
Real Madrid, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But they had tactical coaches before, but it didn't necessarily pan out because they couldn't control the egos of Cristiano Ronaldo and the like, and Karim Benzema. Now they got Zinedine Zidane, who is almost like the Jordan of soccer, almost comparably.
Right.
So you got that guy as your manager. That's a guy players can respect because he's a legend.
Right.
Tyronn Lue is not necessarily a legend, but he's a former player. And he's a player that's not, he's a coach that he's not afraid to butt in your face. So
right. I disagree. I just think he's just not a good coach. Honestly, I think Luke Walton is a better coach than Tyronn Lue. I believe that they will follow, I believe them young folks will follow him. Faster than the Lakers.
Lakers,
yeah.
If Luke Walton was the coach of the Cavaliers, I mean, that maybe could work. But
yeah, he's more of a coach than Tyronn
Lue. Walton is not as in your face as Tyronn Lue is. Luke Walton can manage that young team like that. But if he was in the Cavaliers, he might have be butting heads with LeBron.
So it's the coaching.
LeBron will think he's smarter than Luke Walton. And Luke Walton, he has an IQ of his own as well. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be butting heads. Tyronn Lue is like, hey, LeBron, we know you can be a coach yourself, so we'll let you do your thing.
So and he managed the players. He managed the players.
Right.
Yeah, that's all.
So again, I like coaches. I don't like managers. Managers are win. They still win. But coaches are the best because they get the most out of the players that you don't think you can get anything
from. Right. And that's why I think Luke Walton is going to do so well with those players out there, because I think he is going to get the best out of those players.
So if they sneak into the playoffs, that'll tell you.
Oh, no, you're going way too fast. Slow down, buddy. they not making the playoffs this year.
Definitely not.
So
they need way more experience.
So closing out, what we look like for season-wise, any more you think trades that may kind of be like, oh, shit. Other than the Kyrie? Because if Kyrie goes, what was the potentials that he was going?
It's Knicks, Timberwolves, Spurs. Miami, Spurs.
Spurs would be great.
Miami's unlikely. Spurs probably unlikely as well. Unlikely. Got the assets. Yeah. Timberwolves could be likely. Also, Suns, not that Kyrie wants to go there, but Suns got the best assets for the Cavaliers.
Okay.
And, Timberwolves very likely.
Timberwolves. I don't see him going anywhere else.
So Knicks wise, because they got rid of Rose, and then if they get rid of Carmelo, that'll be perfect.
The thing is, for the Cavaliers, they have to trade Carmelo to the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
But Carmelo might not want to go to the Cavaliers because he got that no trade clause.
So and then they got to give him fucking $8 million, right?
Yeah,
crazy.
Not just Melo, you got to trade me that rookie Frank Ntilikina, and if they don't trade him, then.
Yeah, so then it's not too sexy.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
So, other than that, what's up, fellas?
Yeah, that was about it, man. I can't wait to see Rookie of the Year, Lonzo, do his thing. That's going to be pretty impressive this year.
You giving it to him already, then?
Yeah, that's going to be pretty impressive. As long as he don't get injured. You get injured, all is lost. They're going to be in the same position they was last year. Philly is my underdog team this year.
Philly's
my underdog team. Yeah. I'm crossing my fingers that Ben Simmons is going to be healthy at least 50 of the 80 games. And I'm crossing my fingers that Joel Embiid is going to be healthy 75 of the 82 games. So, yeah, that's my underdog team for this year.
I mean, I say 76ers as well. Like we also mentioned, the Denver Nuggets, you got to watch out for. Mm-hmm. Nikola Jokic, we haven't mentioned him. This guy could be the top center this year. Mm. This guy
Pretty slick.
He could be the top center. That's how good he is. Okay. Then you got Paul Millsap. You got Jamal Murray. You got Wilson. Yeah, you got Wilson Chandler. You got all these pieces.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team to watch out for as well.
Excellent. I ain't got nobody. I'm watching them all. God, because I just think this is going to be a good, exciting year because everyone's trying to build to be Golden State. I just want to see where they land because I agree. Golden State got 2 years on everybody.
Yeah.
Unless, ego hits and Shea said they don't have an ego. So they got 2 years.
Hey, you never know. I never thought Kyrie was going to say, I want to be traded.
Hey, that was Kyrie. Kyrie is different from Stephen Curry. Kyrie, if you go back to before LeBron came there, Kyrie has a history of this.
Yeah.
So when LeBron got there, Kyrie was doing that shit.
He wanted Mike Brown fired.
Yep.
He got Mike Brown fired. So Kyrie's an egotistical player. You just might not think that because he comes from a semi-wealthy family. His dad's a former player himself, but in Europe. So you might think Kyrie's also a military baby, I believe. Mm-hmm. So you have
that arrogance about him and everything. So.
Yeah. But you think since he didn't grow up in the hood or anything, you grew up in New Jersey, that this guy is not going to be like egotistical, but he's just the same way.
Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. I just think that this whole season is something to watch. Because, at the beginning of the season, everybody's just feeling each other.
Right.
But as you, all-star, about to start looking. Because injuries and chemistry. Once you determine the injuries and you get your chemistry in, then you'll start seeing who's going to compete. Because there may be a surprise coming out of any of those. So, that's what we got. Ladies and gentlemen, Hardwoods and End Zones podcast. See us on iTunes, bougieblackbrother.com. Bougie Black Brothers on iTunes. Subscribe. You can subscribe to Hardwoods and End Zones podcast. That's how you subscribe straight up. Or go to the Bougie Black Brother and it'll be lined up with everything in a little mix so you can see the newest to the oldest and go down the line.
We're going to have this on YouTube?
Nope. Not going to be on YouTube. I couldn't get everything the data together. But look forward to start seeing YouTube podcasts. That's our new genre that we want to get into. So if we don't see stats, pictures, relating items, you'll see us debating the facts because football season's coming up. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I think we all get into kind of deeply.
Pages for the Super Bowl again. We all know.
Anywho.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So fantasy football, trying to get my team together. We'll be talking about our fantasy football and getting that ready.
Are y'all starting a league that I can join?
So we probably going to get a league. I'm in two different ones, but I'm thinking about getting a league together. But don't hold your breath. So let me know, though. Bougie Black Bro, Twitter, Bougie Black Bro, IG. Yep, Instagram. And like we said, we're going to Bougie Black Brother on YouTube. So get ready for that. You'll see all the videos there. Stop calling me.
Stop calling me without the G. On IG. Check me out on Twitter. DJ Activist. Activist like the scissor.
Like the scissor. Shay Almanera. Silent H. Silent H. The Shay Almanera. Get it right.
Another Shay Almanera.
Yeah, but the Shay Almanera. Silent H. Make sure you get it right. On IG as well as Twitter and Sports Report. The Unemployed Sports Report.
Straight from the unemployment line.
Straight from the unemployment line. SoundCloud, you know, your boy saved him. Thank goodness.
Yeah. Chance.
So gotta pay that $15 a month, you know, but I mean, still managing.
Yeah, you can imagine it too. So, all good. So, thanks everybody. We'll see you soon on the Bougie Black Brother Network. End Zones. Whoop. Hardwood and End Zone podcast. Peace.
Peace.